You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the WFNY Cornercast, a podcast that takes an in-depth look at the Cleveland Guardians baseball team and farm system. Presented to you by the WaitingForNextYear.com network of podcasts. Here are Gerbs, Mitch, and Ethan.
Hello and welcome to the WFNY Cornercast, brought to you by the Evergreen Podcast Network and part of the Waiting for Next Year community. You will hear this on Thursday, the 22nd of September. We're used to saying Friday. It's Thursday tomorrow. And I'm your host, Joe Gerbs Gerberry, alongside Dr. Mitch. Last week, it was just Ethan and I, just the farmer and me. This week, it's just you and me, Mitch. Someday, the three of us will come together again. But it is not this day, as everyone would say. Like, we got to go back to the Lord of the Rings. That's what we did. Last time, it was you and me. We had Lord of the Rings talk. We had Derek Jeter talk. So we just finished our Return of the King a couple weeks ago on our rewatch. So I had a moment, and I took my Aragorn moment there. So,
well, you know, you're definitely the Aragorn of Waiting for Next Year, Gerbs.
I appreciate that. I like that feeling. So, how are you doing tonight, Mitch?
You know, getting by one day at a time. I'm just like any baseball player will tell you.
Right. Yeah, we are deep in September and we are running a little slow here, I'm sure. So,
but yeah, that's right. We just got through a tough class in school, and I didn't get a weekend because we had the Monday exam. So I've been kind of like running on one or two fewer cylinders than normal lately.
Right. We're getting there. We're getting through it. So, but yeah. It's this time of year that's. It's both great and both exhausting for people who are fans of multiple sports, because we're doing this on a Wednesday night in the middle of a series, which you normally don't do. We usually try to wait for the end of a series, but with the Browns playing tomorrow on Thursday Night Football, I wanted to get this in and done, and I didn't want to do it on Friday for a Saturday podcast. So this is why we're doing tonight. But you got, you know, Sundays are Browns days. Right now we're in the middle of a playoff run with the Guardians. So every day seems to be a busy day of something. So
that's right. And then it's a few short weeks before cap season starts. It's pretty exciting. We could have
I know with I was already probably going to be a little bit more into Cavs this year, even before the Donovan Mitchell trade, but that really like helps put some more oomph into the excitement.
Yeah, that's right. Cleveland's a title town. Title town, USA.
Title town.
Yeah.
The north comes through Cleveland.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. The AL Central runs through Cleveland. I think the East clearly runs through Cleveland. I mean, except for Milwaukee and Boston and Philly and Atlanta. And wow, the East is good. But this is not a basketball podcast.
No, it's not. But you can find all of your Cleveland gear at breakingtea.com/WFNY. I know that's a nice little pull there for you. A whole bunch of Cleveland stuff on there. They have the updated Cleveland Spidas shirt for Donovan Mitchell. As you said, this is a Guardians baseball podcast. So there is the Guardiac Kids, your Jose. There's a King Kwan shirt, if you scroll down a little bit, who hit a home run tonight. Should be getting more Rookie of the Year buzz, but you know, we'll let him we'll let Adley Rutschman and Julio Rodriguez fight that one out. Those are gonna be two guys that are hard to fight about. But again, it's breakingtea.com/WFNY. Find all of your Cleveland gear there, Brown stuff, Guardian stuff, Cavs stuff. Get loaded up, get ready for the playoff run for the Guards. Knock on whatever wood you need to knock on there for that. So,
well, they're quick. They have a Kid York shirt already.
Yes, yes, they have a Cade called game shirt on there. That's it was great. So I made a choice this morning to wear my Jose shirt. I know we are not on a video podcast, but I wanted to actually wear a Breaking Tea shirt. I have a couple of them now, and I wanted to make sure I wore at least one while I was recording a podcast.
Thank you. It really shows off the boyish figure.
Yep, yep. The dad bod that I have that I'm rocking right now, that's where we're at. So, all right. Well, as I said, we are in the middle of a game. We are watching the Guardians go up 6-1 on the White Sox. Just give you a quick playoff run. Is it 10 games or is it 9 games? Is the magic number? I believed it was 10, but I've heard 9 today because the Guardians were able to get the tiebreaker.
Yeah,
do you know, is it 9 or 10?
Yeah, I think
okay.
It's 9. Yeah, and if they hold on today, it's 7.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're getting way close to this this playoff chase being, you know, the division being locked up. The good thing with magic numbers is they never get bigger. So this whole series, it was they count as double, and it's looking. I don't want to claim anything. If this weekend has shown us anything, that there's no lead that is secure until it's done. But Cleveland is up 6-1 in the bottom of the fifth. Tristan McKenzie's on the mound, already has 7 Ks. So looking like another great game for him and for the guards.
Mm-hmm. He just got out of the fifth. So good job. He's had quite a low number of pitches too for being in the fifth inning. So, he can take it deep and save some bullpen after last night's long one.
Yes, I'm gonna say the 15 inning and the 11 inning last night kind of put a little damper on some things, but you know we're doing all right.
Yeah, no, I mean
we're doing all right.
If the Guardians end up losing after last night's tough call at the plate, I think it might have been an instigator for change. Like that was such a big call that they got wrong in such a big moment.
Right.
Obviously, I'm glad they won, but I think baseball really needs to look into like doing something where plays at the plate are like homers, and you don't need a challenge to ask about them. Or like the NFL scores are automatically.
Yeah, all scores are challengeable. All scores are already reviewed. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Onion.
It seems like scoring's very important in baseball too. Obviously, like there's a close play at the plate, but you want to get it right. So, and bad job out of the umpiring crew last night. Oh. And Terry Francona deserves some of the blame. That was a pretty lousy challenge she had earlier in a couple innings before.
Yeah, I was asleep during that game. The rain delay kind of did me in, but I did see the replays of things today, and yeah, that was a pretty rough call. But I do agree with you. I do think that run scoring instances should just be reviewed. I don't know why they would need to, not be, but that's fine.
Right. And unlike the NFL, like 95% of them wouldn't need to be reviewed, like most of the time this would not be this would not add significant time to games, and it would ensure that plays to the plate, the most important plays in the game get called correctly. It seems like a no-brainer to me. Hopefully they do something about that.
Yeah, who knows? All right. Well, let's get some news and notes. We had some news today regarding the roster. Richie Palacios was optioned back to AAA Columbus. And Big Earn, Ernie Clement, was DFA'd to make room for Will Brennan. And Gabriel Arias was called up for, took the place of Richie Palacios on the roster. Will Brennan was not on the 40 man. He is now obviously on the 40 man with the DFA of Ernie Clement, which kind of solves the thing that the team was going to have to do in the offseason. They were going to have to, we were trying to debate what they were going to do with some of this roster, if they were going to make a room for Brennan or if they were going to try to just squeak him through the Rule 5. I'm glad they didn't. I don't think he would have lasted. I think he would have gotten picked by somebody. So Will Brennan made his debut tonight He is 1-for-2 on the evening, 1-for-3 on the evening. Already has a hit and already has an RBI. So, Mitch, what do we expect from Brennan going forward? Just as the rest of this week, we can talk about his playoff eligibility, which I think is actually there has been no firm thing said about his playoff eligibility. So I don't know if this is just going to be a two-week tryout for him for next year and a way for him to be locked into the 40-man, or if this is going to be something that we could use, the team could use him in the playoffs. But yeah, no. What do you expect from Will Brennan?
Well, quickly regarding his playoff eligibility, I think no one knows yet. It really just comes down to when his case gets sent to the commissioner's office. I've seen some speculation that the fact that Ghost is on the 60-day, they haven't, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, his spot could be taking that place. I don't know. But Will Brennan is an interesting player. I've seen him described as kind of like a Quan Light, and I think there's something to that. Although I hesitate to compare anyone to the illustrious Stephen Kwan. But yeah, no, he's kind of a guy who, in the minors this year, hasn't struck out very much, exhibits a pretty decent eye at the plate, doesn't swing and miss a lot, although more often than Stephen Kwan, as most people do. And yeah, he has very good numbers in the minors, just split between double and triple A this year, in his age 24 season. So, you know, certainly an interesting player, a player that the projections like. Someone certainly, you know, could make a difference on this roster. You know, he's not a guy that the scouts have picked out. He wasn't on any prospect list coming into the season. But, you know, that's not always meaningful. Stephen Kwan wasn't on many either, and some guys get discriminated against based on their size. I'm cautiously optimistic, but it seems like the Guardians all of a sudden have this ability to print these interesting AAA hitters. It's like oh, so-and-so that you've never heard of, or like so-and-so who you thought was like a failed prospect, is like hitting like 320 with 15 homers in AAA this year, and you completely forgot about him. You know, he's just the next in that line, and maybe he goes Oscar Gonzalez, and maybe he goes Will Benson. Like, who knows?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how often they use Will Brennan, just because they have not used Will Benson basically at all. Even when Miles Straw was going through his rough period, Benson was a guy that they could have been plugging in and using a little bit more. They have Brennan starting in right field tonight. They have Oscar Gonzalez at DH. I think that's the best use of both of those. Brennan was the center fielder in Columbus for the most part. Obviously, Miles Straw is hitting better, and as I've said. And that we'll talk about that later on, but I like Brennan in right field. That is as good a defensive outfield, I think, as possibly there is in the majors quickly. Mm. I mean, that's a bold statement for a guy who's got three at bats, but you know, just like to say some things sometimes, but, that's a pretty good defensive outfield for Brennan. Brennan and Wright and Oscar at DH. It does keep Owen Miller out of the lineup because Oscar obviously is a right-handed bat. Owen's a right-handed bat. Brennan hits from the left side. So there's some possibility there of making some of those switches, but it'll be interesting to see how much they use him going down. I would imagine that if he is up, he's going to hit because he's going to be get played, just because they wouldn't really call this guy up for nothing. But again, same kind of thing. they haven't really used Will Benson. So it remains to be seen.
Well, I've seen some speculation regarding Will Benson. That was a nice catch by Andrew Vaughn there. I've seen some speculation with Will Benson that he was scheduled to be a minor league free agent after this season, so they brought him onto the 40-man roster to avoid that. Whereas with Will Brennan, and with Benson, I'm not sure whether or not they see him as a major league talent at this point. Like, he's ready for the major leagues. They've really used him as, like, a pinch runner, defensive replacement, just guys, you know, a guy to spell Kwan in a, you know, day off for a DH day for him. I don't think that's how they'll use Will Brennan, because there was nothing, you know, obviously they needed to add him to the 40 to avoid him getting selected in the Rule 5 draft. But, yeah, I don't know why they would make this move without playing him. And it gives them the opportunity to make Oscar Gonzalez the DH, which is maybe for the best. His defense is not the best.
Yeah, Oscar Gonzalez has recently gotten the full dot treatment on Savant, and I was surprised at how this is not on Oscar's side. This is not on my sheet, so I apologize for throwing you Oscar Gonzalez stuff here. I was surprised at how much white there was on Oscar Gonzalez's Savant. I thought there'd be way more red, way more blue, way more bigs and way more lows, but his sprint speed in the outfield was not good. And so it makes sense that he's, aimed more towards a DH than a outfielder. His sprint speed is good on the base pass, I believe. Is that what the Savant says? Or am I
wrong? Yeah, I mean, his sprint speed is good, but his numbers defensively, they don't like him. Now, what the exact numbers are, whether it's 14th percentile or 28th percentile, it's like, that's pretty iffy, you know, based on the small sample size, but it's not a good thing that he is, you know, in the 14th percentile by that stat. And, you know, I don't think the metrics at FanGraphs like him very much either. I mean, he's just, and, you know, with the eye test, sometimes you think a guy looks good and he's not actually, but it's like pretty clear that just watching Oscar Gonzalez, he does not look comfortable in the outfield, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and if Brennan is up, is to, you know, keep Oscar's bat in the lineup while also providing better outfield defense, that's great. I'm okay with that. You know, as long as he's producing as well. I'm okay with it. What do you think Gabe Arias is going to do? Is he going to basically be the Ernie Clement, like, break glass in case of emergency? You know, he's been playing mostly first base and outfield as of late, so it's a little interesting that his usage in AAA. Where you see
where it is that him playing left field and first base is really that they're trying to up his versatility to allow him to be able to play every infield position and some of the corner outfield positions, like you suggested. It does seem like they want him to kind of be that replacement for Clement on this team, which is interesting. They have Tyler Friedman too, and he seems like a good fit for that as well. I'm kind of confused. It seems like there's a logjam where we are kind of running into this long suspected or long awaited logjam of middle infield prospects, and they're kind of, it seems like, figuring it out on the fly, which is fine. I have to imagine the reason he was playing in left field and first base is not because they plan to play him at those positions exclusively in the major leagues, but rather so that he can play third and short and second and first and left field. If they need him, probably right field as well, although, you know, that seems less likely. Yeah, no, I mean, the other thing about him is that he, he's got a lot of raves about his defense. So if he, you know, I have not watched him play that much. He got a cup of coffee in the majors, and I kind of slacked on watching the minors that much this year. If he has that feel for fielding, plus his raw tools, which are, like, plainly evident if you just, like, watch him at all, he could be like a really, really impactful utility fielder. And then the bat coming is less important to make him a useful major league player. Now, if the bat comes and he's also an elite fielder at multiple positions, I mean, now we're talking about like a real valuable major league baseball player. But even if he doesn't reach that peak, like having him be able to play all those positions is very, very useful.
Yeah, I do think they're obviously we've long talked about this log jam, and it's happening now in the majors instead of in the minors, where in the middle of a playoff race. So it's just interesting to see what they are doing with some of these guys. I do think I am okay with having Arias be the backup utility infielder, I guess, much more than I prefer Ernie, just because I feel like the error bars are a little bit broader. There's a way higher ceiling for Arias than Ernie. The floor might possibly be the same, but you know, if nothing else with Arias, it's probably a higher floor. I mean, it's just guys that you hope you never actually get to see.
Arias is the ceiling is way higher, and like, you know, we don't talk about the soft stuff as much, or maybe it's become a trope that we say that we don't talk about the soft stuff enough, and we actually do. But regardless, I mean, I think there probably is some value in saying like, hey, 22-year-old like prospect who has all these tools and is really interesting, like come up and be a part of this team, come up and like learn from the guys in this clubhouse. You know, these are basically his peers, right? Except they've been here the whole season.
Right.
So there's that as well. You know, you want this guy to be a part of like a winning culture going forward. So like, might as well, if you can find like real utility for him on the team, like might as well do it.
Yeah. Sure. That's why I thought Bo Naylor might be one of the call ups today, just to like get him in and working with Hedges and Luke Maley, and just to like have a 2-week tryout, you know, 2-week audition of time. But yeah, you know, I'm okay if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, being a third catcher is a little different too, because you're less likely to get much playing time. And then the other thing is like, it could also be a testament to, you know, a positive feeling about a Bo Naylor or a George Valera from this team, or a Brian Rocchio, where it's like, we want these guys to have real spots like from day one or early in the season. We don't want them to kind of be in this like backup role. We want them to be our stars, and maybe there's something there. Like, why call George Valera up to be like a fifth outfielder when you want
him with Juan
to be like an MVP challenger in 5 years? So I don't know, like maybe I'm just like, sometimes I do this where it's like, I think this front office is really smart, and like I think the manager is really good at interacting with people, and I think they really, really know what they're doing. So I often am like, okay, well, I start at the fact that they know what they're doing and they have a good reason, and then I try and logic, okay, what was the reasoning? Why did they do this? So that's kind of where I fall. It's like, Rocchio and Valera are too important, and Naylor too important to just have up playing once or twice a week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, they did that with Kwan. They didn't really bring him up at all last year, and then this year they brought him up at the very beginning and basically gave him a spot. So it's possible that we'll see next year. So okay, let me do one more news and notes. Zach Plesac working his way back from the broken hand suffered by punching the mound. 5-pitch sim game this week. There's talk of him making a rehab start next week. That would be pretty much right before Columbus is done. I truly thought that Zach Plesac was going to be done with this, or this organization was going to be done with Zach Plesac, that we would really probably never see him again in a Guardians uniform. They are in the middle of a playoff push, though. So it would having Plesac do what we kind of thought he was going to do and be in the bullpen might actually work out really well, to be a two or three inning, you know, fireman, you know, once through the lineup kind of a guy, coming in and pitching behind Zavale, who's been injury prone, or, you know, Bieber, and just completely changing kind of the looks around in the playoffs. It makes sense for that to happen. So I'm here for it. And I think Zach's stuff definitely plays up. We've long talked about him being a possible bullpen arm. That seems to be where they're going with it. And seems to be the path that they're treading. I really thought that with this being the second time in 2 years, he's broken a pitching hand doing something stupid. Whether or not the aggressively removing his shirt was a legitimate thing that actually happened, or if that was a organization trying to save face for a player and making up a tall tale, we'll never actually know until, you know, please act probably leaves the organization, or somebody gets a book deal. Who knows? I have no idea. But I really thought after this 2 years that he was going to be done, and it seems as though he's not. And what do you have on Zach here?
Right. I mean, not to pile on the guy, but it's really been 3 years in a row where
he's done
something stupid to jeopardize the team.
Yes.
In the pandemic shortened season, he like went out with Mike Clevenger and broke policy and had to get suspended, and he apologized, and he made this stupid apology video with his seatbelt unbuckled while driving. He filmed himself apologizing. He is a bit of a knucklehead, and it does seem like, it wouldn't have shocked me if the Guardians didn't wipe their hands clean of him. But yeah, I mean, I think having a fifth starter in the bullpen is valuable in Major League Baseball. Especially in the playoffs, like say Cal Quantrill, your third or fourth starter, just doesn't have it. He gives up a couple of runs. 2 innings later, instead of giving up 5 runs in 4 innings, you pull him after 2, and you put Zach Plesac in to get some outs. Having that guy is very valuable.
Yeah, I like the idea of that, and like I said, the extra looks there, different looks. Cal's obviously a different pitcher than Plesac. All of the guys really are completely different kind of guys. They don't really have, as much as they have a type, I guess, for hitters, they really don't have one for pitchers. So it's kind of interesting to see that, you know, they could maybe just change up how they do the rotation and the bullpen. So, what was that?
Josh Naylor just hit a 2-run homer.
God, I love that man. He is single-handedly just ending the White Sox season. So, all right. And now is a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. At Waiting for Next Year, we take mental health very seriously. It's one of the reasons we have not had as many episodes this year, giving ourselves breaks when we need to. Taking care of yourself is incredibly important, and not enough people consider their mental health important. I have no issue in telling you the counseling and therapy has saved my marriage, made me a better father, and honestly saved my life. If you are thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. You get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/WFNY today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/WFNY. So I wanted to bring up some interesting items, because I love alliteration. So there's some things. Ethan couldn't be with us, but he gave us some stats. As I mentioned in the above, Miles Straw is coming to life in September. So this, all these sets come straight from Ethan before tonight's game. 338, 400, 426 triple slash line so far in September. He's had 5 extra base hits and 3 stolen bases. That's in the month of September. That's a 140 WRC plus. He's finally starting to get his walk rates and K rates stabilized a little bit. 9.3 walk rate and a 12% K rate on this in the month. And his hard hit is up actually 10%, 10 points this month to a 35.5. His pull rate's up 15%. It's a 40% in September. He seems to be coming back to what he was before. He seemed to be having a problem get that. He seemed to be going the opposite way too much in the early goings of the season, and him being able to pull the ball and get that ball down the left field line, get some doubles. It's obviously not his. It's not his game to be a power hitter. It's his game to get on base, and the walks are coming in. He's hitting a little. He's hitting better, obviously. So those things are there. What else are you seeing from Miles Straw in September that seems to be getting him to this point again?
Yeah, I mean the big thing you mentioned is the pull rate. I mean, he's basically, if you're using 2/3 of the field, he's hitting. He doesn't have any power, so he's just hitting these kind of like wimpy fly balls. He's only using 2/3 of the field, so it's really easy to defend. If you look at his monthly pull rates in WRC plus in March, April, he had a 125 WRC plus, and he pulled the ball 34.9% of the time. Then in May, June, July, and August, he was at 13.9, 27.8, 22.6, and 18.8%. So very infrequently was he pulling the ball, and his WRC pluses, which again, 100 is average. So every point below is, 1% below average, and et cetera. In May was 53, June was 21, July 95, and then August was a absolutely hellish negative 46. Yes, and like you said, he is back up pulling the ball he's pulling the ball left field over 40% of the time this month. And his WRC plus is a season high 140 in the month of September. So he is absolutely crushing it. He has been the best player at the Guardians over this hot streak they've had in the last 2 weeks. No one has been more valuable by Fangraphs WAR.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Over the past 2 weeks than Miles Straw. He made an awesome sliding catch in left center field today. It's just like, this is the guy that they extended. You don't expect a 140 WRC plus from him, but even just like the league average hitter plus elite defense. It's just exciting. It's exciting to get this guy back, because when he is hitting well, he is kind of Kwan-esque. He is very pesky and runs the base as well and hits liners all over the place. It's great to see. And hopefully, Straw keeps it going into October, because he is another weapon that this team desperately needs to compete in the postseason.
Yeah, I obviously, we want him to do well. Really hoping that I like him in the 9 hole still. I like him. I wish he was able to get more at plate appearances higher in the lineup, but I like Tito has always liked using this like pseudo leadoff hitter at 9, guy with some speed to help set up the top end of the lineup as it comes all around again. So I like him being down there, because it helps out a guy like Kwan. Get some RBIs, which obviously it's all just stats. It's all just, stupid numbering stats. But the lineup is better when people are on base, and it doesn't matter where they're hitting. It just matters that they're on base, and he's been able to do that much better in September. I truly think that he has been nursing an injury all year, and that's what was happening over the that you know month stretch. We'll probably find out something in the winter where, like, oh yeah, I was dogging this all year, and now I'm finally feeling healthy again. You know, once September hit, I started feeling better, and those kind of things. But we might not ever know. Who knows?
Yeah. No, I think I saw something Mizell wrote, maybe that he made an adjustment to his stance to allow him to pull the ball a little better. Maybe there's something to that. I'd have to dig in a little bit, look at some video, and see if there's anything there. But yeah, no, certainly interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, for like 3 months of the year, he was terrible, and he didn't pull the ball at all. And it's not like he didn't know this. It's not like the team didn't know this. It's not like they just were like, hey, Miles, we see you aren't pulling the ball. You should try doing that. And he was like, what? And then he did it, and now he's amazing? Like, no, that's obviously not what happened.
You know what? You're right. I have been hitting it to right field a whole bunch. Like, no.
Gee, mister.
Well, shucks. Yeah.
Wow, you say I've been hitting the ball the right field. Oh, shucks. Yeah, you're right, mister. I don't know why he's like,
gee, golly, sir.
Yeah,
who knows?
But yeah, no. It's certainly exciting to see. And we've seen Josh Naylor starting to heat up maybe a little bit over the last week. Yeah. Find some power again. Man, it just seems like maybe everything's coming together for this team at the right time.
It really feels that way, and I want to knock on as much wood as possible to ensure that we're not jinxing anything, because I am inherently a superstitious person. But, you know, it does really feel like there's just a lot of things that are clicking all at once. And you know, it could bode for a, you know, longer playoffs thing than what we're thinking about. You know, when I just think back when we started this podcast and we were like, yeah, a successful season is when we, you know, we figure out some of this log jam in the middle infield. And, you know, now we're like, oh, we have magic numbers that we're counting down, and guys are having career years and gold gloves and rookie of the years and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, if they hold on to this win tonight, they need to go 8-5 to finish the season, to finish with 90 wins. Like, whew, that is very, very attainable. And it's like, if you had told me in the beginning of the season that this team was going to debut 16 rookies and threaten to win 90 games, I would have been like, you know, I don't believe you. There's no chance that
happens. Right.
And it's like, you know, I think one of my favorite stats that I've learned this year, courtesy of Winning, Effectively Wild, great baseball podcast, Ben Lindbergh and Meg Rowley. There have been 16 teams in Major League history who have been both the youngest pitching team and the youngest hitting team. And only three of them have had winning records. And this Guardians team will be number four officially, it looks like, right?
I believe so.
So maybe not. I don't remember their exact record right now. I think if they win today, they're at 82. So yes, if they hold on today, they will officially be the fourth team to have those qualifiers. But that's really exciting. Incidentally, one team that was the youngest pitching and youngest hitting team won the World Series. That was the 1970 Reds, who later on would become the big red machine and win two more World Series. Not saying that's what's going to happen.
So you're saying that we're going to win multiple World Series. Gotcha. Cool. Mark it down.
Yeah. Yep.
This episode of the podcast. That's where we're at.
You can tattoo that onto your ass.
right on the haunch back there. Yeah. So, and speaking of things that are just completely outlandish, you mentioned in our Discord today, Stephen Kwan is the next Juan Soto. I have that written down here on the notes. Do you want to tell me about how you did say this? This was the thing that you said.
That doesn't sound like me.
You were mentioning Kwan's. Oh gosh, darn it! I wrote it down on the thing.
That's
List of players who swing less frequently than Stephen Kwan. The list is comprised of one and only name, Juan Soto.
That is true. I didn't realize that that would be construed as me saying that Stephen Kwan is the next
one. Nope, that's how I took it. That's where I was at. That's how I took it.
Well, that's on you, my friend. But, yeah, Stephen Kwan is, like, I mean, I'm not breaking any ground here, but he just, like, doesn't swing. He doesn't swing at strikes early in the count unless they're exactly what he's looking for. Like today, his home run when he ambushed a first pitch fastball right down the middle from Lance Lynn. He just doesn't swing at first pitches. He doesn't really swing at, you know, tough pitches unless there are two strikes. And he never swings at balls. So essentially, he is, you know, one of the least frequent swingers in Major League Baseball. And, you know, pitchers like when batters swing. When batters swing, batters get out. So not swinging, you can't get out most of the time when you don't swing. You can sometimes if you look at it.
You can. You can. You can get out if you just start swinging at all.
It's much sure harder to get out without swinging. If you're swinging at pitchers' pitches, you are very likely to get out. If you are not swinging at those pitches, you are unlikely to get out. So that's the point here. Stephen Kwan is very judicious with his swing choices, and it benefits him greatly.
Yeah, that sounds like the Stephen Kwan that we know and love. So
yeah, I mean, three more hits tonight.
Yeah, he's just been. I don't want to say that he needs to win the Rookie of the Year. I just wish there were more buzz about him nationally, but I also don't begrudge those national writers because, like, you got Aaron Judge is going for 60 plus. Otani's out here, you know, getting like 12 WAR by himself. There's other things that are happening in baseball, but you know, just mention Steve Kwan every once in a while, guys. It's great. He's doing fantastic things.
He really is. And like, it just is tough because Adley Rutschman and Julio Rodriguez have been so good. You know, really, any other season, like Stephen Kwan would be a serious contender or a no-brainer for the Rookie of the Year. It just so happens that this season he's
absolutely
going up against amazing prospects.
Yeah, it happens. I think there was some talk on Twitter today that they were comparing Steve Kwan's rookie year with Kenny Lofton's rookie year, which is very high praise, obviously.
I saw that. He's like close to, you know, the hits record for rookies in the American League. And he's actually top 10 in singles in Major League Baseball.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Amed Rosario is number one in Major League Baseball in singles, by the way.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want to do with Amed. I know it's we're getting late in the podcast and I don't want to like throw a whole big thing in here as I'm trying to wrap up on some of these, but just the Ahmed stuff. I Jose loves him, so I want to love him too, but I just don't see where he fits in with the organization's path and with the assets that they have. So I don't see how he's going to be a longer term option with getting any kind of an extension, but I also don't see how you're able to, you know, disrupt the locker room, the clubhouse, the way that it getting rid of Ahmed would be. You also have to think that these guys are professionals and it's part of the game, and you know, whatever Ahmed is going to bring in asset wise is going to help the team, you know, this year or next year rather, theoretically. So, you know, you accept a little bit more. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, the problem is they have so many guys, you know, that could be better. It's not that he's been bad. He's just a very flawed player who's kind of limited in what he can provide. He's a bad defensive shortstop. And yeah, he's a good hitter, but he's really limited by his approach. So he just like can't be a great player in the major leagues the way he plays the game. But he's a good one. He's a good player. He doesn't make the team worse. You know, if they brought him back next year, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Because he is like a pretty solid major league player. And you need those. But yeah, it just feels like he's not part of the future. But the future is now. So I guess he is a part of the future.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll figure this all out when after the team wins the World Series. So, you know, that's where we're at. So, all right. Well, for Dr. Mitch, for myself, I think we are getting near, we're getting towards the goofy portion of the night. So I am going to say good evening and good night. Tristan McKenzie has 7 innings pitched, 11 Ks. Maybe he's going out for the 8th. Who knows? Follow along on our Discord. Go to breakingtea.com/WFNY. Find all of our things there. You know, check in. Get ready for your Gardos, your playoff Gardos. So, all right, guys. Have a good night. Take care.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.